Hey, everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
Hey, and I'm George Affleck.
And we have, oh, so much to cover. It's almost the distance of a pipeline from Alberta to the north coast of BC. We'll talk about, whoa, a huge literal signing that went down on this day that might have the Premier of BC a little ruffled, we shall say. We'll also talk about some accountability. We'll talk about the budget in Vancouver being zero sometimes. And we'll even peek across the border into the United States where it's Thanksgiving. Happy.
And fun.
Happy unspun,
You
George.
got
Happy Thanksgiving.
me confused there. I know
I
you
know,
said
I loved
Happy
it.
Black Friday or something, because that's tomorrow as well. So,
Yes. Do you do Black Friday?
like in shopping wise,
Yeah.
Well, I got my Old Navy thing at 50% off. So, for Quinn, we sometimes will go on a little tear, but no, not really. It doesn't really. I'm not a big fan of research when I want to buy something. It's like, okay, I'm saving 10%, but I spend 5 million hours doing it. I don't know. It's just I don't buy a lot of things, I guess. I don't
Right. So zero doesn't necessarily mean zero. We'll get into that second.
know.
Today, we got to start with the big news. Many of us assume that when the Premier of Alberta was talking about this incoming pipeline to the north coast of BC, that she was just doing her political sparkly things. And then, in steps the Prime Minister, and whoa, here we go. What are your thoughts on this? Unspin it for us, George.
Well, it was not surprising. I mean, when Carney was there about what, a month and a half ago, and she came out and she was very glowing about the prime minister, and everybody was like, "What in the world is going on? Like, you're a conservative. How are you? What was suddenly this turnaround?" So she obviously knew something,
Yeah.
and
Not great at keeping a secret.
and all the separate Alberta stuff that's all still happening, I guess. But this certainly this memorandum of whatever it is that was signed today, the impossible dream, probably more likely, at least maybe not in our lifetime, to have this pipeline built to the coast from Alberta with bitumen to a location that, as far as Canada is concerned, and certainly our premier in BC and most First Nations and the entire environmental movement and probably majority of British Columbians are opposed to. Which is having big giant tankers from Canada, even though there's tons of tankers going up and down the strait up there into Alaska through those waters every day, all the time.
Yeah. And frankly, in the South Coast of BC, like we all the time,
There is a tankers.
all
They're
the
not
time.
giant, but they do come from, they go right underneath the Lionsgate Bridge every day
Yeah.
or
There are
once
a
a
lot of
week, I think it is.
the concerns for sure. There are environmental concerns. It's kind of hard to balance. And it was interesting watching the discussion. It was funny because I was watching CBC News Network as it was all happening live and watching Danielle Smith speak. And then all of a sudden, boom, she's out. The Carney's up, and Mark Carney, the prime minister, doing his best dance of like, well, we're going to do carbon capture over here, and we're going to increase the carbon tax sixfold, but we're also building a pipeline.
Yes.
And the things that that we learn, it's like, well, how can you do that if British Columbians, because there are going to be a significant number of British Columbians who say, no, thank you. Well, you
Yeah.
know what? Bill
It's
C-5, they can do
it.
it. The federal
Yeah.
government can do it. They can do it. Just putting it in the simplest of terms, it's not like it wouldn't come without significant details. But it was interesting that Prime Minister Carney did mention this morning that the conversations that have been ongoing that will continue in order to move this forward by July, I think the deadline is to have something significant on his desk, does involve First Nations in both Alberta
Ownership.
and in BC, exactly. And I mean, like,
Ownership. If they can pull
significant.
that off,
Yeah.
that basically shuts down the NDP in BC, because how can they suddenly go against First Nations? There is this balance that the NDP and any government in BC, you got environmentalists, you've got the First Nations, and then you've got the unions, which in their case they have to balance all three of these things. So you got two out of three in that situation that are going to say, "Hey, well, we want a pipeline." So if they can get the First Nations on board, which is going to cost money,
As it should.
and so it's going to
Should.
be interesting. I always find it, just on a point of his delivery, Carney's delivery. It's interesting to watch a politician evolve or how they communicate. You know, we all know the Barack Obama approach or the Bill Clinton thumb thing. And I noticed that Carney's always like, okay, 3 points.
Oh,
One,
yeah.
two, three. Okay, there's three. Eight, you know, three. He's always like, there's three things.
There's
Three
five
points.
things,
There's
there's two
five things.
things,
There's
there's
three.
one thing,
Yeah,
the biggest
I mean,
thing, the
I'm going to walk
small,
you through
here's.
each of those. You know, what? Man. It's like his strategy when a journalist asks a question. It's very interesting to watch and
Because
effective.
there's not just one answer. Because if you
That's
say
right.
three things and then you use only one sound bite, then that leaves people going, well, what are the other two things?
You also get lost as a
For sure.
politician.
No,
It's
but
hard. What was I
you
saying?
can't, as a news organization, you can't just go clip,
Right.
clip. It's very strategic. It's very, and it also gives pause for the amount of time it's going to take you to answer something. If you say three things, people know you're not going to do it in two sentences. It's not a yes or no. It is. It's a yes but or a no but. A couple of things. There, I just did it. A couple of things that I noticed. There you go. But
Very good.
truly, the ones, because I was like, as somebody who is, rooted in environment and wanting to protect what is our beautiful province and being mindful of the impacts of industry on, BC, but also trying to balance that out with those are our natural resources that make us prosperous, like we have to move to market, was how Prime Minister Carney was sort of laying that out to somebody like me. And not Jody the broadcaster or Jody the talk radio host, but just Jody the British Columbian and a bit of a tree hugger and somebody who wants to, invest in truth and reconciliation and understands the politics at play. And sorry, that's a verbose sort of setup. But for me, what landed really well for me, because I don't necessarily agree with the shell game that's going on, like why not Trans Mountain get up to full capacity before we start talking about plowing a new one? Like, why would we not twin that? What make it more? We've already carved this out. Like, there's so many questions that this layperson doesn't know the answer. But what I did love is when Mark Carney started speaking about the fact that the South Korean market and the Japanese market and other markets across the world would be even more interested in Canadian fossil fuel products because we are so mindful and so ethical about, as ethical as one might be, because I know that's going to fire up the environmentalists to come at me hard. But in places where, it's one up from slavery at best, and it's like ripping through, the world in a way that is alarming to say the least. I feel better about it because I know our economy needs it, George. Like I up against the US right now and trying to find trading partners and trying to survive what is a full-scale attack by the US administration on our goods and services to make us smaller, to make us weaker. We have to do something really bold, something that 5, 10 years ago we would never have planned on doing because we were like, we're fine.
Yeah, and I think Carney's trying to make it clear there's a dichotomy of a leadership as a country where we are saying on one hand we want to lead the way when it comes to extracting resources, but we also want to lead the way when it comes to the environment. Well, huh? How does that
I
work?
know. How does that
But
work?
well, you need money to solve the environmental stuff. If you look at what's happening in China, who are clearly, they extract everything they possibly can out of the earth in China whenever they can, however they can, and they don't have to deal with the same kinds of regulations that they have. They don't have everything, so that's why they need to buy it from us or other countries. But they also understand what's happening, and they want to find ways to make their country green. They understand pollution and the climate change and all that stuff, and so they are the fastest growing environmentally responsible country in the world, and they also are the biggest user of resources in the world. So, you know, you can do both, and you can, but you can't do one without the other. You can't be super environmental without some money to be able to pay for things like, you know, giant wind turbine farms or forcing, you know, businesses to become more green or all these things that it takes. You know, you can't just hold a stick and say, be environmental, be green. Businesses who, you know, let's face it, the government's great, but you know, business runs the world as far as how we actually achieve things, and it's our own personal needs and wants as humans that drives business to do the things that they want. You go to Amazon, you go to the local store, you buy things all the time. We live in a consumer society, whether it be your home, your car, your groceries, all of this stuff, and all these things are interconnected. And so you can have both, but you can't have one without the other, in my mind. And Canada, as you said, has shown an ethical approach. Now, there's always people getting in trouble and doing some unethical things, but generally,
sure,
we have the checks and balances, the you know, the boundaries of what is good and bad in our country. We have a political and a legal system that is effective and isn't in chaos like so many other places.
We'll get to that.
And so it's why not us? Why not us? And why can't we be the leader in both? Why can't we be? Why can't we extract and safely export off our coast, but also care about fish and environmental footprint of our country, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, we can do it all. We can.
Well, I hope we can.
Not to mention all the First Nations stuff and reconciliation. Very expensive process, important to do. But we need to have it all integrated.
If you're Premier David Eby right now, what's going through your mind?
Well, I have no opposition, so that's good. So I don't have to worry about that. No effective opposition.
Right.
So,
I was going to say no effective opposition because John Rustad, yeah, the leader of the Conservative Party of British Columbia, has been very active on his social media, and it's quite something.
Yeah, it's just that he hasn't got control of his own party, so it's easy to kind of, you know. And Eby got 83% support with his party.
Yeah,
I mean, Rustad did get 72% when he went to his leadership review thing. But, you know, they really aren't aligned. Clearly, we all know that the Conservatives are having a tough time. The caucus is split. They've got 30 riding associations sending letters. This is a problem. I've talked about it. I made a prediction that didn't come true yet. But those letters kept rolling.
Well,
premature, let's put it that way.
Premature.
So that makes it easy for him to do whatever he wants and say whatever he wants for now, because he and also gives him the opportunity to raise money. From what I hear, the Conservatives are having trouble raising money. They haven't raised a lot in the last 6 months, and that's a problem because that could make it possible for the NDP to call a snap election and get a majority, which then puts them in the seat for 4 years easily. So it's definitely a challenge for Rustad, and that makes it easy for EB and to say whatever he wants right now. And so this game he's playing with the federal government, you know, he can do it easy enough because it doesn't impact him.
The part of the game that I am enjoying with our premier, because he is an excellent speaker and he comes at things, he can fold in emotion to his politics in a really interesting way. It captivates the audience. Whether you agree with them or not, you're listening. And the things that I'm hearing, even around subject matter that I'm no expert on, but I might even be like, well, I don't really agree with you or whatever. Mm-hmm. Is when he starts talking about like, what's in it for BC? Like what are we doing here? I see what's in it for Alberta here. I see what's in it for, you know, but where is the British Columbia piece of the federal pie
you got to be at the table. You're not invited because all you said is no.
Right. So how do you sort of parlay that into it? Because it's all a game. That's why we have a podcast called Unspun. It's not like there's no political strategy to the way things are happening. And it was serious crisis management for the last 6 months, 7 months because of the Trump administration coming for us as a country. And everybody was at the same table, you know, at the outset. I think we're going to make ferries free on the East Coast, and not even a discussion about what's happening in BC was one that kind of like snapped things a little bit, as small as that might seem to somebody in Saskatchewan or Manitoba or, you know, whatever. For British Columbians, like the affordability of that highway, I mean, there are things that just are inequitable, I think is a fair word. I don't believe that. I think that people aren't looking across the Rockies the way they should.
No, they never have. They don't care. This might be the
chess piece that could move that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, you look at how our province is divided politically, it's north and basically, north and the
Interior.
and the Fraser Valley east is sort of conservative everywhere pretty much, and then you have the NDP basically in the city and South Island, and
Where
so
the
I would
population is the d
yeah
most
it,
densely populated.
basically you have the population, you therefore you have the seats, and therefore you have the majority of the British Columbians. But from a giant piece of land, the majority of our land is resource heavy, which is where we get all our money to pay for all of us down south here. And ever was the case that Ottawa could care less about BC. The country stops at the border of Manitoba for most governments in Ottawa. Even
It's a
conservatives
golden
generally
horseshoe. It doesn't
get,
even get to
yeah,
Manitoba.
exactly,
It
exactly.
doesn't get out of the
I mean, and
GTA.
it doesn't matter if it's conservative or liberal, it's always that way, because
Right.
in order to win, say, majorities, you need Quebec and you need Ontario, and
Yeah.
doesn't the rest of the country doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Well, it matters
Might.
to us, and we're going to go into a
Yes.
municipal election. So let's talk about something local. Local. Apologies to those who don't love it when we talk about the City Hall in Vancouver specifically, but it is the main hub. And the biggest spender, except for when it's a fully zero budget, George. It's a
Zero
zero
budget.
budget, zero.
Yeah. Except for, fees going up here and there. There's not a lot of detail in this budget. That was so they approved the budget. It's not a large document. I saw Pete Fryick and all the opposition. There are many opposition now, and about eight different parties coming out and saying, there was not enough detail, but also, what about this? What about that? Zero's bad, zero's bad. And you're like, oh my God. And so but these same people and all the people, the 600 people that signed up to oppose this, I'm confused by, okay, you want the city to be more affordable, but you also want the city to spend more money. I mean, huh? How does that
Well,
work? So,
can I be specific to one of those things? Because you know I love to bring up the park board, but this one made the top of my head blow off. The press release that went out from Vancouver Park Board was, and it was the first paragraph. They didn't even try and bury it in there. They were just like, you know what we're doing? We have approved the increase in our fees. So at your community centers and blah, 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 Van Dusen Gardens, Van Dusen Gardens and the conservatory and one other, places people want to go. We're increasing the fees and increasing the parking costs
That's not tax.
so that we can make it more affordable.
That's
I
so
like sat back
stupid.
in my chair. I'm like, who's buying this?
I know. People do.
Who wrote that and thought this is the right thing to put out there? Like,
Yeah.
I get it. They're going to do it no matter what. The press release is just is a formality. They're doing it. They approved it. They approved more money for themselves. They asked for more money for parks that are continuing to be run down in ways that are ridiculous. We want to restart the train that goes from Cambie Street to Granville Island, but we can't get the little toy train to run around Stanley Park at Christmas time. What?
Yeah.
We have a train that can carry people. But we can't do the what?
Dude. Yeah. I mean, literally, if you just said to a private sector, go do that, they would build that sucker in 5 minutes. But the park board doesn't like privates, enterprise in the
No,
parks.
because it would take their jobs and make them look bad because they can't do their jobs. Anyway.
And but good news though, the aquatic center is open again because they put a giant net there. So when you're swimming during the backstroke, Jody, in the pool,
Good
you can
stuff
feel rest
falls.
assured that the concrete falling from the ceiling will be stopped by the loose looking net.
It'll be like the mirror tiles falling off my wall as in my childhood room,
What? Okay.
getting caught by the canopy bed. I had a yellow canopy bed, and my mom put mirror
Wow.
tiles on a wall. And one morning, I woke up, and one corner of a mirror tile was sticking through my canopy bed. And I was like, "I don't think I like mirror tiles on my wall." I was 7. Anyway,
Wow. Yeah, that's not a good idea. Mirror walls in kids' rooms.
no,
No,
but that I
no.
mean, it was the
But cool.
70s. It was
Cool.
the
Yeah.
70s. Yeah, it was.
I had that wallpaper that was like this, like a striped, like and it was red, bl blue, and per I don't know, it was like this. It was hideous. It was like the like waves, and it was all my whole room was wallpapered in this. And but my bedroom was the bedroom that my parents' friends would crash in if they stayed overnight. So I would have to sleep down on my sister's floor or whatever. But my parents' friends, because it was the 70s, they would wake up and they would be really kind of hungover because they'd been partying. That's why they were sleeping over. And they'd wake up and they'd go, "Oh my God, what kind of room is this room? What are you doing to us? Did you do this intentionally to make us go crazy in the morning when we're hungover?"
Gen Xers.
Yeah,
Gen
exactly.
Xers.
Suck it.
Yeah.
So, but I think the
We
so
digress. That was
yeah,
fun.
I know the budget though. So you know the there's a lot of interesting things that you know I would say that from a communications point of view, I just don't understand why Ken Sim doesn't just go, shut that up. Look, okay, yes, you have these problems, but I am committed to a zero. You want affordability, but you don't want affordability. You make no sense. I'm not even going to listen to you. Go away. I'm focused on making the city more affordable now. It's my job, even though I didn't do it for the last 3 years. But you know, people have short-term memories. They don't, but he thinks they do. That's I would just go totally aggressive on that because I think most Vancouverites would go, yeah, what the hell?
You notice he's wearing
Exactly.
a suit and now he's wearing his very studious
Tie.
George Affleck glasses everywhere. He's like got a tie on,
He's got
no
glasses
sneakers to
politician
be
now.
found.
You
He's
gotta
wearing
make
dress
the
shoes and stuff.
it's so obvious. But
Yeah.
it works. It
I
works
mean,
too.
sure. So you've launched something new that I think is important as we are now in election season, because we're inside the 1 year of
Yes.
counting down to the municipal election cycle. Do tell us about this Accountability Vancouver. Is that what it's called?
That's right, .com. It's not a political party. Let's not get confused. And now I'm not
Nonpartisan?
running nonpartisan, even though it's a nonpartisan association. It's an organization that I've created with some people that are, you know, well connected and it's meant to provide to it is what it is. It's Accountability Vancouver. It's really about making the politicians in Vancouver specifically accountable to in the next election. I don't care whether you're left or right or center. If you're going to be saying stuff, I want you to, first of all, tell me how you're going to make that work. So the budget as an example, and I talk about this because the police budget got a 4.5% increase, right? And that we got a zero budget. So what are you, okay, they got that sort of $50 million. We're half a billion-dollar budget now for the police. Exactly, tell me exactly how that 50 million is going to make my life or any of our lives better. Like specifically, are we going to see more people boots on the ground but walking? Or what are we getting for 50
Right.
specifically? What are we
Yeah,
getting?
tell me.
Because as
Yeah.
an example, I also found that you know 93,000 calls are dropped to the police every year. 80% of people give up when they call 911 and call the police department about issues, broken glass on your thing, this kind of stuff. They don't bother anymore because, and so they talk about crime stats going down. But when you know that 80% of people are giving up, then there's, okay, what's going on here? What's the
Right.
real number? Because I don't get a sense that anybody I know feels like crime or break-ins are down.
No.
And frankly, if your car window is smashed or
My car got tossed last week.
and
Again,
do you
I've
bother
lost
calling
count.
the
No,
police?
God, no. No,
Exactly.
no.
So they don't, so it's not reported. So it doesn't count. So that kind of stuff has got to be clear. And you know we're doing a lot of polling. We've done some early polling that shows Ken Sim's in big trouble, but mostly the polling that we're doing, which is on Vancouver specific, is about talking about the issues because we want to make sure that that people in the city are properly represented on the issues that matter to them. And I think that you can get pulled away. Like, is the budget the number one priority? Actually, in our polling, nobody cares about the budget. Nobody cares. It's like low priority. They care about affordability, but what is that? And the crime was up there, and guess what? Housing up there as well. The usual suspects.
I
These are
want to
still,
clean
you
up the
know,
city. I want my
clean
city
up this
back. I
really
want to clean the
basic.
city up. I want the graffiti taken down. I want things cleaned up, washed down, rinsed down. I want street cleaners back. I
But
want
how
my
can you do
garbage
that with a
picked
little
up.
more money?
But that's just it. So the zero
So
budget is not going to gain votes, I believe. I
I don't think
believe
so
that
either.
that's not going to gain
Well,
a vote. I don't
it's
think so.
gonna no, and so the data that we're showing. So, anyways, if any, we're asking people to get involved, join us.
Okay,
If
say the
you
website
so
again.
accountabilityvancouver.com, go
Dot
on there,
com.
register, give us your information, and then we'll get you involved. We'll make sure that you're heard. We want to. There's a bunch of questions we want that are on there that we'd like you to answer, so that we have information from people in Vancouver, and so that we're gonna use this information for good. Again, it's not a political party, not another political party. It's because there's so many political parties and so many people running for office that it's important
Is
that.
there a front runner at this point from your polling so far? You said Ken Sim is in trouble. Is there somebody who's like at this point?
It's interesting. The polling, it kind of matches the stuff we've heard, but Pete Fry, he's definitely up there as the number one leader.
And he hasn't even announced yet.
I know.
Right, okay.
BC or Vancouver Conservatives polling really well, even though they don't exist. They kind of exist.
Wow. Because
And that's
the one that I'm seeing the most of that feels, and maybe it's just my algorithm, but is Rebecca Bly.
yeah, she's not ranking at all.
No.
Neither's Karine in our polling. I actually rank it. Both of them
Really? Good for
actually.
you. George Affleck running for mayor. You heard it
No,
here
no,
first on
no,
Unspun
no, no,
Podcast.
no, no, no.
I
But
know, I know, I know.
there is some interesting ABC is do not too bad, but did Ken Sims bring them down?
Yeah.
So, you know, they might be have to come to Jesus moment for Ken in order for ABC to survive. They may need to do without him, unless his suits and ties solve that problem.
It's wild to me that he's running again. But
Well, that's what Gregor Robertson said in December of 2017. So,
right. We do have a lifetime before this election, that's for sure. Happy Thanksgiving to our friends south of the border, friends and family in the US. I know lots of people that I know like to watch this podcast to keep a little bit of a toe in what is their hometown, home province, home country. So happy Thanksgiving. And I will say to you all, only three more to go. Only three more.
oh,
Right?
that's the wrong thing. What, three more?
Three more Thanksgivings. Oh my gosh. Can you believe it? So much has happened in this short period of time of this Trump administration. We've got, where are we right now? The Epstein files still not fully released. We've got two National Guardsmen, a woman and a man from West Virginia. National Guard, man, people who show up that have regular everyday jobs that go and are supposed to be, helping their fellow Americans in need. And they're just gunned down on the streets of DC, which, by the way, Donald Trump said was the safest place in all of America, thanks to him. What else is going on there? Marjorie Taylor Greene, we talked about that last week. She is like, I'm out as of January. But then former Speaker of the House for one second, Kevin McCarthy, now very vocal, saying that Marjorie Taylor Greene is like a canary in a coal mine, and that this is a sort of a bellwether for what's going to happen with more Republicans. Well, how do you see that?
Can we predict anything in America anymore?
No.
I think people always underestimate Donald Trump. I mean, you mentioned the Epstein files. Where are they? Do we even talk about them? I mean, how much more time before we just forget about it? They allowed the release, but they haven't got the release. We got all this other stuff happening. People forget. They haven't. There's been a few stories I've seen, but basically, the heat's off Congress and Senate, and the president said he's going to release them, and he kind of went to hell. Probably just say, "I did.
And he could have
Didn't
released
I?"
them without any Congress or Senate. Like he could have just said,
Yes.
release them. Like this was all sparkly things anyway. But if you're working that hard to hide something, I don't believe it's going to go away. And I'm honestly, I don't know whether or not Donald Trump, I mean, the where there's smoke, there's fire theory is real, but I don't know whether or not he is deeply involved when it comes to actually raping and assaulting children, because that's what it was, young girls. Our children. And I just would like to know who did all of them. Like that to me as a human being, it's like somebody tweeted something yesterday, like how fascinating that someone's like nudes, a woman's nudes that she sent to her boyfriend will get leaked throughout the internet in 5 minutes. But the Epstein files, bunch of really wealthy, powerful men, covered for years. Like so many people know the perpetrators here, and I mean, it's got to leak eventually. So,
Well, yeah, of course it will leak if they actually exist or haven't been. Even if they do get destroyed, there'll be somebody who's got a backup when
there are
they get
people.
released. So, you know, with the Marjorie Taylor Greene thing, the Kevin McCarthy thing, is that because they're freaking out because they're going to lose the midterms? And generally, that you lose the midterms anyways, the party in power. So it's kind of like go to. But you know what? I guess what we all have to watch is let's assume that's a given, and all this stuff happening now is just positioning. But then it's election time again for the president of the United States right after that, right? Then that's that the campaign time begins
Now,
right
who is
after
it?
that.
Who's
Yeah.
gonna run? Is it
But
Gavin Newsom? Is it Mark Kelly? Oh my gosh, that Mark Kelly thing, that's new. So the six,
oh yeah, the people who got their lives threatened.
the veterans, all of them, veterans of whether it's, the Central Intelligence Agency or happens to be a test pilot or astronaut of 29 years, married to another elected official who got shot in the head. In Gifford. So Mark Kelly, but the six people who took the time to create a video just stating fact that if you are in the military, in the U.S. military, in any walk of the military, and you are asked to or ordered to do something that is illegal, it is imperative that you do not do that or take that order and act on it, because you will ultimately be responsible for it. Like, that's what a whole bunch of people, I think, in the U.S. don't understand right now.
You know, it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but right. Eventually, if tides turn, you have to come to terms with the fact that you will be held accountable for what you did.
Going back to accountability.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you know, we have lots of examples of that on, in the history of the world.
We definitely
but
do.
They, yeah, so then the president puts out on social media that, yeah, basically that's a, they're
seditious.
Seditious, which is basically a sentence of death, basically.
Yeah. Sedition is an act of violence, by the way, being violent. And these people literally were reading the laws of the Constitution of the United States military. They were just reading the truth. It's wild how
I was only following orders. Oh, yeah. No, no, not that. No. Not that again.
We are in it up to our eyeballs. It's quite the news cycle, George. It always helps me anyway to talk things through with you each Thursday here on Unspun Podcast. Everybody follow us on Unspun on Twitter, Unspun Podcast on your Twitter feed. You go to unspunpodcast.com. You can like and subscribe, sign up. It'll come straight to your email inbox on Thursdays. You can follow George on social media, specifically on Twitter. He is at George
underscore
Affleck, at George underscore Affleck. I'm at Jody Vance, Jody with a Y, at Jody Vance on all the social media sites. And if you want to have us talk about something, tweet at us, tell us, or hit us up on our Instagram or even on our unspunpodcast.com website, and we will get to it. Again, if you're wanting to go to George's new accountabilityvancouver.com website, you should do that and sign up, sign in and answer the polling questions there and be heard, especially obviously if you live in Metro Vancouver and Vancouver, specifically the city of Vancouver. I think that's fascinating, George. You'll have to keep us updated here on a weekly
basis. You will see my face. If you live in Vancouver, you're going to see my face all over your Facebook and Instagram.
Never too much George Affleck face. All right. Go have a good day.
See you.
Bye. Y'all. Bye. Bye.